ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Welcome back, everybody, to Crazy Sheet. I am Mark, and I am back in my backyard as we get ready for a big slate of college football this weekend after an incredible Saturday. Scotty, how the hell are you, and where the hell are you this evening?
Man, I'm great. I am 80 miles away from interviewing for the Nebraska job.
So you're somewhere in Omaha then, I'm assuming.
I'm in Omaha. That's exactly right.
Oh, good stuff, man.
I figured the crew would like that.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I know my way around the great state of Nebraska. Been there many, many times. And you should interview for that job. Bring some new life to it.
I couldn't do any worse than they have.
Absolutely not. I mean, hell, you've got to be at least good as Bill Callahan. So, anyway, you got to be
good right now.
You got to be at least his our age to know who that is. But, Scott, what a weekend last weekend. I mean, just had some great games, some huge upsets, some things you couldn't see coming. I don't even know where to start. A couple of things I'll just go ahead and put out there, I think just to make it easy, is Clemson is now officially eliminated from the college football playoff. I don't care if they win the ACC. The rest of their schedule soft. They may not even win the ACC when it comes down to it. Dabo is so married to DJ.
You deserve to be in over them.
The game plan Clemson had was terrible in that game. It was just – that was what was more surprising to me than anything. I had to go back and watch it, and the game plan was bad. And that was what I was blown away with. I expected to have a better game plan, but after I went back and watched that game again Sunday night and started – you know, I try to tune out a lot of the national media, but I really do think this Clemson team – you know what it reminds me of? I thought about this, and we talked about this years ago. The Mack Brown teams at Texas and the Urban Meyer teams at Florida, where you had this great coaching staff that was super cohesive and could recruit, and then you started losing coordinators, you started losing position coaches, and the team just kind of started getting away from Urban, and it got away from Mack. That's what this defense looked like. I mean, you've lost Jeff Scott. You've lost Brent Venables. You know, Tony Elliott, you've lost some coaches now on this team. And so, and Dabo is so diehard in how he wants to do it, I kind of wonder if it's going to happen, because they have no explosion on the outside. Shipley's pretty shit. The offensive line's pretty good. The defensive line's got some dudes on it. But the game plan was just terrible in that spot. But he may get Jeff Scott back, because he got fired at USF this week. So if he wants to bring him back, he can. But that was what surprised me the most of that game, was how bad the game plan was. What caught you, whether it's that game or anything else last weekend, what caught you by surprise?
All right, so I will tell you that I think no doubt the Clemson game was the most surprising game of everything we talked about last week. It's their game plan was terrible. Everything you said, 100% on the money. Notre Dame, though, I'm starting to feel like that they're going to be one of these teams, because I feel like I love Marcus Freeman, and I think he's a good dude. And he just – I think if I'm a guy, Marcus Freeman is a guy I would like to go play for. He seems like a good dude. He looks like a good – and look, he may be a total – I understand that perceptions – are not always reality. And I understand that better than anybody. Man, the dude looks like a good dad. He's got a good family. That's the kind of people I'm drawn to. That's people I want to raise my kids and to influence me, and people that are good people. And he looks like but he's getting there faster. They had no business winning that game. They're significantly less talented. And Freeman looks like the kind of coach who's going to be able to answer the bell. They're going to lose, right now because they're not talented enough to play poorly and win games against teams that play 100% like they did against Marshall. But you look at what he's done. He kicked Clemson's ass. He almost won at Ohio State. They have put some great performances together. If I'm a Notre Dame fan, put the record out the window. I understand they've lost some games, all that. This is a first-year head coach. You gave a guy who was over his skis this job because he can recruit. And here they are competing well as you ever have against high-end programs. Man, I think there's a lot of upside to them. So I would say that is what surprised me the most. The next most surprising thing is as much as Georgia dominated that game, how close it stayed. And I've heard all kinds of reasons for that. But I think Kirby knew, man, this team can get on the rails fast. Let's keep our boot in their neck. Let's stay aggressive on defense. Let's keep our boot in their neck. I think that was an interesting part. And I'm telling you, the other thing, Mark, I've said this since day one. Brian Kelly is one of the three or four best coaches in America. And he's finally at a spot where he can get real talent. And everybody's making jokes about him making the Southern accent and all that. He's going to stick that up your ass in 3 years. When that guy gets a chance to get three or four LSU recruiting classes together. And I think people miss what I like about this hire and what I like about Brian Kelly. He could have stayed at Notre Dame forever. And he could have kept doing what he was doing, but he was never going to win a national title. And he thought, you know what? Damn it. I want to find out, am I good enough? Can I get this done? The competitor in him at 60 is like, I want to go get in the hardest league with the hardest recruiting, but I want a chance to find out, am I as good as I think I am? Dude, I love that about that guy. Yeah. And I like it. And I think he is as good as he thinks he is. And I think LSU has landed on gold. And I think everybody that thinks, oh, he's a Yankee and he can't recruit. Just FYI, Nick Saban was a Yankee who couldn't recruit when they hired his ass back in the early 2000s.
No, I agree. Kelly's done a fantastic job. You got to go look at that LSU roster and they're too deep and see how many freshmen they're playing. They started two freshman tackles. They've got freshmen on the defensive front. They got a freshman in the defensive backfield. And then you got a transfer quarterback.
They got two freshman tackles.
That's what I'm saying. And I mean, that's crazy. When you look at the talent that Alabama has on the outside.
They got a five-star quarterback, redshirt, Mark. Five-star. And look, anybody's followed the SEC for very long. Jamie Howard was an LSU quarterback. And I just think he got poor coaching. That was a talented guy. Like, if you're an Auburn fan especially, like, you make fun of Jamie Howard. Jamie Howard was a talented guy, and here his kid is, who's got a quarterback dad who's been I ain't trying to make Manning comparisons. Similar concept, because Jamie Howard was a really highly recruited, big-time quarterback, just didn't have the same success. So I think this could be a big deal for him.
No, I agree. I think this LSU team is going to be good in the next couple of years. They got a chance to play for the SEC championship this week. I mean, this year, I mean, if you're Tennessee, you're pulling for LSU the rest of the season. I mean, with hopes being they can get in there, I think they've got a good shot too with who they've got left on the schedule. If you try,
Mark, if Kelly gets them to the SEC championship, seriously, he's clearly SEC Coach of the Year, and I don't mean that as a shot at Heupel, because Heupel still might win the Natty. Because don't make me mistake. That Georgia atmosphere was nuts, but it was wet. Everything played to Georgia's favor there. And they still only won by two touchdowns. And Georgia called the dogs off. Oh, man, they're being conservative. Kirby probably didn't want that offense to get rolling either, because they ain't exactly great at DB.
Now, it was interesting. So on Monday when the Lions came out after they settled, I actually went back in, and I've got my Michigan ticket, which I'm liking more and more every single day.
You're going to beat Ohio State, by the way.
You think so?
I 100% do. I think they're a really good football team, and everybody's going to say, oh, well, Ohio State played terrible Saturday, and Michigan played terrible this week. Michigan came out and answered the damn bell. I mean, Harbaugh got on their ass, and boom, and they gas canned those guys. Ohio State just looks – they've looked pedestrian a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I like them. But I also think that if you're looking for some value long-term, I think Tennessee at 18-1 to win the Natty is not a bad bet for $100 because they've got a decent chance to sneak in the back door. The teams that are in front of them to get into the college football playoff have a harder road to hoe than they do. I mean, if you look at TCU still has – probably their hardest games left on their schedule in the Big 12, and then they're going to have to play somebody twice. Most likely it's going to be – could be Texas, it could be Baylor. We're going to see what's going to happen there. You go out west where you've got Oregon, who after game one has gotten better every single week. You cannot deny that Bo Nix is not having the best season of his life. Him transferring to Oregon is absolutely going to get him drafted. But do I think Oregon or USC – deserves to be in the national championship conversation? My answer is no, because you can't put a team in that gets beat by 50 game one. And then the same thing with USC. I don't think you can put a team in there that looks great on paper, but they cannot play defense. Their defense is so bad. And I wouldn't – I think that's who's going to match up in the Pac-12 championship, but I don't know if they're going to get a bid to get in. It's going to be very interesting to see if brand name bias comes in more than anything on that.
Let me tell you something. Tennessee's in unless they lose again. I really believe that. I am sorry. You cannot watch Tennessee go into Athens and lose like that and think, you know what, we should put Oregon in, who got fucking gas canned on a neutral field. That wasn't a neutral field. It's in Atlanta. It's a neutral field. It ain't Athens. And if your ass ain't ever been to Athens, just trust me, it ain't the same. Just, you need to hear me, go. You'll understand very much, it ain't the same. It is that game to me precludes them. If you were one of the best four teams in the country, now, if we were 12-team playoff, it shouldn't preclude them. But, man, I'm telling you, it's like USC a couple years ago. They lost one more game in the Pac-12, and everybody's like, well, they're playing as well as anybody. And Bama beat them by 50 the first week. They'd have beat their ass by 50 again if they'd have played them. You lost by 50. That has gotten you. It's not like you lost by two TDs. I'd be all right with you getting back in if that game was 38-24. You know what? Bo Nix has gotten there, new coaching staff. They got talent. They're playing better. You lost by 50. You're not going to make up 50 by playing better. You're not.
I agree with you. And when you look at TCU.
They have no business in a 14 playoff.
And when you look at TCU, I think if they can go undefeated through the Big 12, I definitely think they're going to get themselves in the playoff. I just think.
No question.
I think TCU has played their asses off all season long. They're doing everything that's right, but it just strikes me as one of these teams that at some point they're going to misstep just a little and somebody's going to get them, and because of that, they're not going to get a shot to play for it. That's the only reason I don't tell you to go get a TCU ticket to win the Natty.
Mark, everybody last week was talking about Tennessee's got that LSU feel, and I kind of got that. I kind of fell into that too. You know who really has that Tennessee feel? I mean, that LSU feel? TCU.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because they are completely off the radar. But we have all thought that – how long did we – I mean, I think it was 3 years in a row we kept thinking TCU's going to take that step forward. You and I kept talking about Max Duggan 2 damn years ago. We're like, man, that guy's talented. He's going to boom. Now he's got a coach that's propelled him forward. You know, just think if damn Evans hadn't left. I mean, think about that for a minute.
They've got plenty of talent back there in that backfield.
They got Jethro's talent, ain't that? But think about if they put another stud back there. It is – Dyke's doing a really good job. They, to me, are the team that's an obvious input into this deal, to me. They can lose a football game, and if they can go to – because – I think this may be the week they lose. And if it is, if they go to the Big 12 championship and then beat Texas, they're in.
We'll see. We'll see. It's going to be interesting. We're going to dive into all these games when you get down to it. A couple other things. I just want to blow through these real quick. Tulane keeps on winning in the American, looking good. Kansas is bowl eligible for the first time since the fat suit left. Texas A&M has to win out, I think, or to get bowl eligible.
Gotta win out with
Jimbo there. It is super pear-shaped in that spot. You got Wisconsin, who basically had – Jim Leonard, is, from what I've understood, is basically giving them an ultimatum saying, hey, you know, I need to know if I got a job or not at the end of the season, and he's doing a great job that's there. And so there is a lot of interesting things that are still going to happen over the next 4 or 5 weeks of college football. I'm excited. I'm super excited because I think the chaos is coming. I don't think we're done with it yet. I think there's still some more upsets to come. I will not be surprised one bit if we're lining up championship weekend and we're talking about if LSU somehow wins that game, that they're going to be the first two-loss team to get themselves into the college football playoff. It's going to be very interesting. There's so much to come. We don't ever talk about the rankings. I'm not looking at it from the rankings. I'm looking at it from a sense to say, where can I find somewhere to put a couple of $100 on a long shot to get me, you know, something that I can hedge out of if I need to when we finally find out who those four teams are. And so I'm excited about it. College football, man, is good. And I had a great conversation with somebody this week talking about Alabama and Nick Saban. And I said, you know, I wonder if Nick Saban is looking at this saying the game's changed.
He's done.
Everybody's doing these things. And everybody's saying, oh, he may be done. And one buddy of mine told me, he said, I think he loves it, man. He loves the grind. I think he wants to come back and prove one more time that the game's going to evolve. And he's going to be like, you know what? Fuck y'all. I'm going to do this one more time. And then I'm going to go.
He wants to win one more natty. And then he's done. He just wants to prove in the NIL, boom, I go bury your ass again, and then he's done. He's going to go run his Mercedes dealership. He's going to show up on ESPN. He's going to hang out. But I think he is too much of a grinder. I will tell you, and I mean this, like I consider myself a grinder every day, certainly not to the level of him. But this – the game's not nearly as fun for them. It can't be. Like, you go invest time, you go recruit, and then it becomes about money. And Bama's never lost to anybody because of money. Make no mistake, before NIL, their ass wasn't losing anybody because of money. Just FYI, for everybody out there that thought, oh, they're playing by the rules, no, they weren't. Their ass been paying for a long time. And the difference is when it was under the table, it really was kids kind of went like what the problem with Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss was he's getting these dudes who from all over God's green earth. You could hide it when it was a guy who'd grown up like in Bama or, you know, it was like they all had an in and Ole Miss went over the top. You know, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons, Mississippi State. Prime example. Everybody in America wanted that guy. Everybody. You think State got him because he was State fame?
I think he loved Mississippi State. I
just Mississippi State as the next guy. They had him come to Mississippi State just because he was State fame. He was a State fan growing up, and he loves the university as much as anybody. And you see him carrying the torch and carrying the flag. Man. Might have had a little illegal inducement. Just
like. Oh, boy. Putting it out there, Scotty. College football is interesting. It evolves all the time. Oh, it's fantastic. And we still have 4 or 5 weeks left. I'm a little sad about it, but I'm so excited. I don't care. I've already started looking at bowls and like teams I think are going to get bids that I'm going to bet against and bet on. I am super excited about where we're headed the rest of this season. That being said, we did not have a great week last week. We were all over the place. I told my wife.
Turned out as good as we did.
No, I told my wife I had my normal unit size is 200, 300, 500. I've talked about this before. On Saturday, I had over $5,000 in play, close to $6,000. I went and looked today, and I woke up Sunday morning and checked my log, and I made $120. And that was me grinding my ass off. I had unders across the board in all those games in the Big Ten. I had kind of hedged a little bit on the Tennessee game and took Georgia and Texas in a parlay on the money line. It was a mess. I mean, I had so many bets. I couldn't see straight Saturday at some point, though, but so I couldn't figure out what I had everything together. But that being said, Scotty, that's last week. That's behind us now. We are right in the middle of action. If you're listening to this now, it's either Tuesday, it's Wednesday, probably Thursday when you get into it. Hopefully you caught our early week podcast where we kicked out in Ohio getting the over in that game. And we've got another game tomorrow night. With a little lean there with Bowling Green. So I'm pretty excited about where we're headed right now. I like the MAC. The MAC's still interesting shaping up, but we got so many great races, great stories that are going to be left in this one. So I am pumped, brother. Are you ready to rock and roll on this? Are you putting some numbers together?
And I'm ready to rock and roll. I do have one more thing to say about last week, and I can't. My Hogs not getting off the bus.
Whew.
Against Hugh Freeze and Liberty. For nobody, because I'm sure that the bulk of people listening to this did not watch that football game. They absolutely show up in the fourth quarter and just pound Liberty after not being there for 45 minutes. How the hell they lost that football game and didn't cover. They were 14 points better. They were looking ahead to LSU. They just thought they had it done. Most disappointing performance to me outside of Clemson of last weekend.
I can get down with that. I lost some good money on that line. So, yes, I'll absolutely back you up. Scotty, that's behind us. Let me put my glasses on so I can read some lines, and let's get rocking and rolling. First game I want to go to this Saturday is going to be game 134 on your rotation sheet. Let me scroll down and get to it there. Notre Dame and Navy will be playing in Baltimore Ravens Stadium. Game will kick off at 12 p.m. Eastern time. Over-under here is 41.5. Navy's getting 16.5. Notre Dame scoring 29 points a game, giving up 21. They're 6-3 straight up, 5-4 against number, 4-5 to the under. Navy scoring 22 points a game, giving up 25. They're 3-6 straight up, 5-4. To the 5-4 against the number and 5-4 to the over. I'll take this one, brother. I'm going to go Navy here plus 16.5. I actually have already bet this game, went ahead and bought this to plus 120 to get me to plus 17. If you go look at Navy's defense this season, their stuff rate against the run is actually really good. They're in the top 20 in a lot of statistical categories against the run, from a total yardage, from a stuff rate, being aggressive. This is a good spot for the Navy to be in here. I wish this was in Annapolis, but I think being in that giant stadium, it might even help them a little bit more because those NFL stadiums have terrible environment for college football games. Notre Dame's coming in here off of a huge win over Clemson. They're rolling in to play Navy, whose Navy's not very good. Navy typically gives Notre Dame a hell of a game, and the line's big. I can see them kind of sleepwalking in this one. And Notre Dame's already proven at times that they haven't been able to get up for some of these games. As you mentioned earlier, they have gotten up for some big games, but they haven't gotten up for some games like Stanford and Marshall and things of that nature. Do I think Navy can win this game? No. Navy swapped out the quarterback. They've got some new OC running some deals there. Seem to be moving it a little bit better, but their defense is good. Notre Dame does not have any explosive plays. Their longest touchdown run of the season is 10 yards. They're a grinded-out, run-the-ball type team. Their best players, their tight end and Mayer. They've got an FCS quarterback Division I AA quarterback at best in Drew Pine playing. And so I think this is a hard spot for them to get into. After that Clemson game where you had to get so up for it, you win the game, Then you got to turn around this week and play a triple option team that is just going to grind it out. And this for Navy, this is a gigantic game for them to get up to. And you're giving me 16.5, 17 points as a backdoor cover. Give me the midshipmen in this one. I don't think they win, but I do think they cover. I'll take Navy all day in this spot.
It would surprise me none if they did win. Really wouldn't. But I agree with you. I don't think they're going to win, but I think it will be a very close game. There's no way Notre Dame's going to be up for this game going to Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore, I don't mean that bad. Sorry, here in Maryland, you're listening. Baltimore sucks. I mean, it is kind of what it is. I mean, you're very likely to get shot in the best parts of that town. And you really don't want to go to the worst parts of that town. I mean, like that river area and the waterfront. No, I guess it's the oceanfront. Used to be awesome. Yeah, no.
It's very ungood.
You know, not anymore. So, you know, it's just, I mean, at the end of the day, don't think Notre Dame's going to be showing out in mass. I think this game is very pedestrian. I think it is a letdown spot. I think it is a business-like win for Notre Dame. And that is not a 16.5 point cover.
Next game I want to go to, Scotty, let's go to Lubbock, Texas. Kansas is going to be rolling in here. Texas Tech is laying 3.5 points, over under 64. This is game 157, 158 on your rotation sheet. Kansas scoring 38 points a game, giving up 29. They're 6-3 straight up, 7-1-1 against the number, and 5-4 to the over. Texas Tech scoring 33 points a game, giving up 30. They're 4-5 straight up, and they're 4-5 against the number, 6-3 to the over. Tech got a little bit jobbed last week. They lose Baron Morton, their freshman quarterback, midway through the second quarter. And he was looking good in that spot against TCU. He had that offense moving. They were running fast. Once he got hurt, they had to roll in Tyler Shuck. They had to roll in Donovan Smith. Neither one of those guys, I don't think, has the athletic ability that he does. Shuck, to me, hangs on. Shuck, to me, just looks a step slow compared to this guy. Donovan Smith just does not want to make a decision. He hangs on to the ball too long. Kansas is going to come in this game. I'm not sure if the quarterback's going to be back or not, but the backup quarterback, he started all year last year. He's got him back on the right track here. This team's now bowl eligible. They're headed down to Lubbock. It's a 7 o'clock game. It's a hard spot to play in Lubbock. I'm not going to lie to you. But you're going to get down there. You're getting 3.5. I think Texas Tech actually can still win this game and Kansas can cover. I think Kansas is going to be physical. Their offense moves around a lot. I think it's going to give Texas Tech's defense a lot of problems. Texas Tech's also going to have to get off the mat after what they did last week in TCU. I actually ran into a girl this week whose husband flew the plane home from TCU to Lubbock to take them home on their charter flight. And I asked her, I was like, what was the mood like? She said, it was very quiet, but they had a lot of food. And so I think Tech really went into that game with hopes being that they were going to pull this one out. It was going to be their second signature win of the season. And if it wasn't for some terrible play calls at the end of that game, I think Tech had a chance to stick around in there and then losing the quarterback. Morton's not going to play for Texas Tech. He's out at least for a couple of weeks with a high ankle sprain. I'm not even sure he'll come back this season unless they make a bowl. Tech needs this game to get to a bowl, but I think Kansas can hang around in this one. I think it's going to be very close, very hard-fought game. Give me Rock Chalk Jayhawk plus 3.5 in Lubbock, Texas, Saturday night.
Man, I've loved Kansas since about June when I started studying schedules. So you're not going to have to talk me out of Kansas on this deal. Leopold's doing a great job. And when they're healthy, they're really good. I mean, that is what's crazy. Like you thought when you haven't watched them and you just think it's kind of going with smoke and mirrors and all that. It's a good football team. It's a really good football team when they're healthy. And that is a testament to the job Leopold's done. And also going to the wire, recruiting, all those things. But at the end of the day, you got a seasoned, savvy coach, and you got a first-year guy. Not that I think he's a bad football coach. I know he's coached high school football in Texas for a long time. I think that's a big difference in this, too. You got a big win, Kansas, going on the road. They're now bowl eligible. Can they finish? You got a big loss for TCU, for Texas Tech at TCU last week. They're coming home. How do the coaches manage all of this makes a difference too. And I think I'll take Kansas.
Next game, Scotty, let's go down to New Orleans. Get down to the Bayou, baby. 2:30 on Saturday, game 169 and 170. UCF's coming in here to play Tulane. Over-under's 54.5. Tulane's laying 2. UCF scoring 35 points a game, giving up 18. They're 7-2 straight up, 6-3 against number 3-6 to the under. Tulane scoring 33 points a game, giving up 17. They're 8-1 straight up, 8-1 against the spread, and they're 3-6 to the under. Game is sold out, Scotty. Sold out in New Orleans for a Tulane game. Second time this season they've sold out a home game here. What are we going to get when we get this game with UCF and Tulane?
That's what I love about this, is that this is the first time that Tulane has hosted a football game as a ranked team against a ranked team since they were in the Southeastern Conference. I mean, that is an amazing stat, and it's, you know, I think it was the 50s when this actually took place. So, bottom line, been a long damn time. I may not get the date exact, but it's been a long time. I like this Tulane defense. They have been really, really good. I think UCF going on the road, and at the end of the day, what I really think is that Gus is going to outsmart himself against a guy who's not going to get put himself in a bad position. And I think that is the difference of this football game. I think Willie Fritz is a grinder. Look, I wish, it's not a shot at Mike Leach, not going there. Love Willie Fritz. Wish Willie Fritz was the Mississippi State coach. Wish he'd have been the guy who followed Mullen. So that was a long time ago. But I like the way the guy coaches football. I think he does a great job. I think he teaches kids to overachieve and just do so many things. And at the end of the day, I think he's a better guy when the game is on the line than Gus. I got more confidence in him than Gus. And that's what this comes down to. This is a one possession game, in my opinion. And at the end of the day, I think Fritz will get it done at home with a better defense than UCF on the road in Gus Bus.
Next game, Scotty, one seat down, 171-172, Northwestern at Minnesota. You know what I have to do to get ready to talk about this game?
Put a coat on.
I have to open a beer and put a coat on because you're going to be right up there.
Cold as shit up there.
It's going to be cold balls in many. Game time temperatures looking to be in the low 30s with a 10-mile-an-hour wind gust. Over under here is 41. Minnie's favored by 17.5. Northwestern scoring 17 points a game. They're giving up 28. They're 1-8 straight up, 4-5 against the number, 4-4 to the under. Minnie scoring 31 points a game, giving up 14. They're 6-3 straight up, 5-4 against the number, and the 3-5 to the under. I'm going to keep this one real simple for you. The over-under here is 41. This play is going to be gross. You're going to have to put a hazmat suit on when you go bet it. Hold your nose, put it in there, and let's go under on this spot. Northwestern's offense is abysmal. They have had one good showing all season, and we all watched it when they played in Dublin. Minnie, on the flip side, has turned into a more of a grinder team. Once they lost Altman Bell, they don't really have anybody that can explode the top of the defense off. Now, granted, I know Northwestern is not nearly as athletic as some of the teams that they play in the Big Ten. But I look at this, and Minnesota, I think, is just going to grind it out, pound it out. And Northwestern's not going to be able to score. I will not be surprised one bit when the final score to this game is 31-7, and we win the total, and we come under 41, baby. If you're going to bet under 41 in a cold game, you better be drinking cold beer and wearing a coat, because I think we're going under in this motherfucker right here.
I think we're definitely going under. I think the weather, how bad Northwestern is, this sets up for under. But I want to say something to every guy who plays fantasy football who's listening to us. And next year, when Ibrahim or whatever his name is for Minnesota gets drafted by some NFL team in the fourth round or third round, because they're going to take him, and he ends up being like he shows up and you're like looking at your fantasy draft and all that, and you're like, eh, maybe I'll take this guy. Take him. Because that dude can run the football. And he is a really, really good player. He's going to have some miles on his tires. That's the reason I don't think he's going to be a high pick. This dude is legit. Legit. And when he plays for them at Minnesota, they're a different football team. They're a different football team. That is the bottom line. The guy's a great player, but he can control the game. Northwestern's not going to be able to score going under because they got a great running back. They've lost their star player on the outside. Let's take the under in this ballgame.
Next one, Scotty, let's go to Austin, Texas, Saturday night. TCU's coming in to play Texas. Over-under this game, 199-200. Over-under is 65, and Texas is laying 7. TCU scoring 43 points a game. They're giving up 27. They're 9-0 straight up, 7-1-1 against the number, and they're 6-3 to the over. Texas scoring 36 points a game, giving up 21. They're 6-3 straight up, 6-3 against the number, and 4-5 to the under. This line stinks as bad as any line you're going to find. The public, if I had to guess, is going to be all over TCU. Is how does a ranked team go on the road to a Texas team and they're getting 7 points? Everybody's going to be on TCU in this game. We talked about the Texas line stinking last week. It did, and they covered. They almost tried to give it away at the end, but they didn't. TCU's going to come in there, and TCU wants to win this game so bad. I mean, every game TCU plays from here on out, are to them, they are rivalry-style games. They want to win these games so bad. They can see it. This team hasn't been where they're at since they went to the Rose Bowl and their undefeated season when they beat Wisconsin out there. But, man, Bart Johnson catching a pass to win the touchdown, you know, to win the game in that one. Texas coming in here. No one's really paid much attention to Texas since we got past Red River. Quinn Ewers has come back. They still have what I think is one of the best three players in the country in Bijan Robinson on this team. Where I like this game is I'm going to take Texas -4 in the first half. Sarkisian has done a great job, if you look at him in the first half, putting a game plan together. And they have looked great in the first half in a lot of games. In the second half, they have looked like dog shit. TCU on the flip side. TCU on the flip side. Start a little slow, and then they come back and pull it away. And Texas, if I'm Sark, man, I'd seem like, fuck, we're not going to the locker room. Get the moms to bring some orange slices out. We're going to sit right here on the sideline. We're going to drink some water, have some orange slices, get the whiteboard out. We're going to draw some stuff up. We're not going to the locker room anymore. We're going to sit in the corner and watch the band, because every time we go to the locker room, we come back and we just haven't looked very good. And so I think what you're going to get here is Texas is going to come out and they're going to put some points up and they're going to take the lead at halftime. Sonny Dykes and his squad and Jerry Gillespie, the defense coordinator at TCU, is going to make some adjustments at halftime. They're going to take away something. They're either going to take away Bijan Robinson on the ground, or they're going to take away what Quinn Ewers and Xavier Woods are able to do through the air. They're going to take one of those away at halftime. And I think TCU actually is going to pull this game off and probably win it, but I'm taking Texas in the first half -4 in this spot, and I like it, and I may turn around and play TCU on the money line to win the game. Strangest play I'll be making this season, but I like it. I'm going Texas first half -4.
All right, before I get into how much I agree with you on this game, I'm going to talk about that I was a 6 orange slice guy. I'm a soccer game. 6 orange slice guy. That's what I needed to get. That is so funny you broke that out on me. I was like, man, that is so awesome. just totally going off the grid, but I'm a 6 orange slice guy. So on this football game, I agree with you. It really is about Texas has started fast. TCU started slow in this game. That's what I like about this bet. I don't know where this game's going to end up. Vegas always scares me when I look at this game because the obvious number is
TCU plus 7.
TCU plus 7. And you look at it, and you're going to look at the tickets, and everybody's going to oh, they're hot, you know, and then boom, they're going to get drilled. But I could see them winning this football game. I really can't. Dykes is doing a really good job. And there's two things I love about Sonny Dykes. It's first is that little bit of edge, just a little bit of that Texas, you know, I guess I would say privilege. I mean, his dad's a legendary coach. I mean, he's got a little bit of privilege is probably a decent way to say it, but he's also an outcast. He's also an outsider. And he's just got a little bit of that F you just to me. You know, just that little bit of edge. And I like it. I mean, I've always liked it. And you can feel it. And if you don't have anybody in your life who is that guy, who is just, you know, just overcome some things, you know, all of that, but really does have that kind of, it's fuck you. I don't care what you think. You're missing out. You really are. You need people in your life that will tell you, man, don't worry about that, man. Just roll. Just go. Just don't worry about it. And he looks like that kind of guy to me. And his teams play like that. You know, people forget. And I'm telling you, California is one of the worst jobs in America. It's one of the worst jobs in college football. You are trying to get dudes who are literally tall, overcome everything, work your ass off, do everything, and go out there where it's like, oh, everything will be given to you. Everything's kumbaya. You know, and they don't fit. And it's like everything you're teaching doesn't fit with everything that's going on campus. And that dude was winning.
Yeah.
Out there, and I still can't figure it out. Like, I thought, man, this is gonna be an epic fail. That tells you how good of a football coach that guy is. I mean, it really does. It's not like he was in Pullman, Washington, or at least was successful. That's a much friendlier environment for his belief system and the way he coached. I just think he's a really good football coach. And I think he's got that just enough swagger, just enough arrogance to just propel people forward. And it's what TCU needed. And so I am fascinated to watch this game. I want to bet on TCU so bad, but the smart play is how well Texas has played early, how poorly TCU has played in the first half. Take the first half line, and then let's see where it goes. I'm with you. I'll lay the four. I'll take the first half.
Next game, Scotty, Texas A&M and Auburn, game 201-202. I cannot believe I'm about to showcase another Texas A&M game here. This team has fucked me so many times this season. But here we go. Last week about went Friday.
Didn't fuck me last week.
Well,
only because we knew about the flu outbreak a little early.
That's true. I would have put that out on Twitter, but anyway. But, yeah, last week we got news about the flu outbreak late Thursday. Went back in, bet Florida. Looked a little shaky in the beginning, but the news was accurate. The players were out. Connor Wegman was out. He didn't play. I think he's a difference maker for this team. Texas A&M's traveling into Auburn. Game here is 48.5 is the total. Auburn's laying 2 at home. This is an interesting line. Cadillac Williams came out last week after the game in his presser and said, you know, we fought hard. We played as a team. The players love Cadillac Williams. I love Cadillac Williams. The guy he's a legend at Auburn.
He's all over the field. Yeah.
He reminds me of an old guy that used to coach at Baylor named Trooper Taylor. I don't even know where Trooper is these days, but he would be all over the place. The players loved him. He could recruit. He comes out in the post game, says, we didn't win the game, but we won. You know, we had chapel last night. We had 8 guys accept Christ. He's like, we're moving in a good direction. I don't think he's trying to audition for the Auburn job by any stretch of the imagination. He's just trying to pull this team together and get these boys to have fun and play football and play hard. Texas A&M comes in here. There is nothing that has gone right for this team. They're scoring 23 points a game. They're giving up 24. They're 3-6 straight up. They're 3-5 against the number. They're 4-5 to the under. Auburn's scoring 24 points a game, giving up 31. They're 3-6 straight up, 3-6 against the number, and they're 6-3 to the over. Wegman's back, the freshman quarterback. I saw the kid play in high school. I saw him play a couple weeks ago when he threw for over 300 yards in a loss. I'm going to roll the Aggies here. I went back and forth on this game, back and forth, and I just cannot lay points with Auburn in this one. And I have talked to people that know this Texas A&M program, like the players within it. They got kids that are there, and I'm asking, it's like, what's the locker room like? Is it just toxic? What's going on? And they're like, no. It's like, we're moving into the team's still tight. It's like Jimbo, believe it or not, has not completely lost this team yet. And I think it's because these kids, because they are good and they know they're good, it's kind of pissing them off that they're not getting there. And Auburn's not in much better shape than they are either. But I'm getting 2 points. Give me the Aggies on the road plus 2 to go to the Plains against. And I don't think anybody, there's going to be the Auburn faithful and the parents are going to be there. I mean, this is going to be, I'll be shocked if this stadium's full come Saturday night, only because Auburn wants to beat A&M just to win. But I'm taking the Aggies plus 2. I don't know about you.
I think Cadillac has done I thought he did a great job Saturday night. Having said that, his lack of coaching came up because they win the football game if he kicks 2 field goals instead of going for it on 4th down inside State's 20. They win the football game. It's bottom line. For all the analytics, all the bullshit, everything, kick field goals. It's still solid. Score points when you're on the road. Cause Cadillac a win. That's the bottom line. He had an analytics guy right next to him, reading him stats, you know, all of that. Dudes rolling up to him, the whole deal. They kept talking about it on TV. He lost football game because he didn't kick 2 field goals. That's the bottom line. And at the end of the day, A&M has not quit. I think I love the at the end of the day. That was the greatest tweet we've gotten ever. I really do believe that A&M is just better defensively. This Auburn offense is awful. It is awful. I mean, all they got is literally quarterback run.
Yeah.
Because
it's a wing team.
All they can do is hand off and run sweeps. It's really wing. Spread guys out and quarterback run the football. And I just think A&M's better than that defensively. This team's better than that if they show up and get off the bus. And I do believe that A&M is going to fight to win this game. And they still have a chance to spoil LSU's season. And say what you want to say. When you've underachieved, if you know a rivalry at all, man, a chance to ruin their year when you've had a bad year can make the winter season significantly better. I think A&M doesn't go over there and lay down and play dead. I think their defense is enough to win this football game against what is a pedestrian, and that is being kind, Auburn offense.
Let's stay in the ACC, or SEC, Scotty. Alabama has to get up and go up to Oxford, Mississippi to play this game. Over under here is 63.5. Alabama scoring 42 points a game. They're giving up 18. 7-2 straight up. 5-4 against the number. Ole Miss is scoring 37 points a game, giving up 22. They're 8-1 straight up. 3-5-1 against the number. 5-4 to the over. Scotty, as we travel into the great state of Mississippi, what are we going to get from both of these teams?
I don't know what the hell we're going to get from Alabama. That's why I like Ole Miss. This is the first time Alabama's walked into a football game second week of November and not had a chance to win the conference championship or win the national championship. That's the bottom line. And they really don't. Can they still win the conference championship? Yeah. They got no shot to win the Natty. None. And I don't know what the hell we're going to get. I really don't. And I don't understand how this team's as bad as it is. And I'm fascinated to watch this game. The bottom line is, I've watched Alabama multiple times in bowl games when they didn't have anything to play for, lay a turd that was about 4 inches long. And I'm expecting a full-on turd. And Ole Miss is going to give it all they got. This is lack of motivation versus full-on effort. And I'll take the points. I don't know if Ole Miss is good enough to win because they're pretty much one-dimensional at this point running the football. But I'll take the Rebels. I think at home, in that environment, in that crowd, in Kiffin, and all the history and everything else, I think they're able to stay within the 12-point number.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, because it's going to be rocking at Hemingway Vaught Stadium Saturday at 2:30. Because those fans know they've got Bama on the ropes. Bama's gone in there with some good teams, and Ole Miss has given them problems and won there. It's going to be fascinating. This game to me is probably one I'm looking more forward to watch than almost anything on the board, just to see what you're going to get from both of these teams. And I agree with you. Ole Miss is kind of one-dimensional, but they have been all season long, and they're still running the ball for 270 yards a game. It looks like everybody's going to be healthy. Their offensive line is not great, but Kiffin has kind of figured out how to use that to his ability. He keeps things moving. There's a lot of motion going on there. He's got, again, three NFL running backs in that backfield, and he is taking full advantage of it. And he even had Jackson Dart in play last week. And so it's going to be fascinating. I'm looking forward to this one. I like Ole Miss plus 12. If Ole Miss pulled the upset out here, holy ding dong, would it be incredible. But yeah, I'm excited to watch this one.
Stop talking about it. I don't want those son of bitches going to Atlanta. I don't want them going. Stop talking about it.
Next game I got.
They ain't gonna beat their ass.
Let's go to the Big Ten. Iowa and Wisconsin. Wisconsin travels down to Iowa to play this game. Over this game 209-210. Wisconsin over under 35. Woo, man, 35. Iowa's plus 1.5 in this game. Wisconsin scoring 31 points a game, giving up 20. They're 5-4 straight up, 5-4 against the number, 6-3 to the over. Iowa scoring 17 points a game, giving up 14. They're 5-4 straight up, 5-4 against the number, and they're 3-6 to the under. Let's not get past the point that Iowa is one game away from being bowl eligible, and they are averaging 17 points a game. This is amazing, Scott. I mean, I want to take the under at 35 because it's so gross, and I think it could get there. It's going to be cold. You're going to have some wind gusts. Spencer Petras, the quarterback at Iowa, is so hard to watch. It's so hard to believe someone went and watched that kid play high school football and went like this: you're going to lead our team to victory. Come sign with us. Because it's bad.
And then you got the Wisconsin quarterback,
Graham Mertz. I mean, that guy's living off of one game he had as a freshman when he beat Illinois and threw 5 touchdowns, and he's still there. But Jim Leonard's there. Since Leonard's been there, this team's won 2 games in a row. They've covered 2 games in a row. Scotty, what are we going to do in this one?
I'm going Jim Leonard. I've liked Jim Leonard for a long time. This is going to sound so nuts, but when we hired Leach, I said, have we talked Jim Leonard? And I'll never forget somebody that was involved in the search goes, who? I'm like, never mind. Never mind.
Oh, man.
Who? Never mind.
Oh.
I think he's a really good football coach. Loves Wisconsin. NFL guy, he's a grinder. He's who ends up being a great coach. I mean, it is what it is. This guy's an overachiever, plays in the NFL. I mean, look at that dude. Do you really think that guy was does he look like an NFL dude? He's an overachiever. He's a worker. He's a grinder. It's everything about him. He loves Wisconsin. And that is what I love about him. And if they don't hire him, I think it's a mistake. He's done a really good job since he got there. Let's put him in charge of the program, see where he goes. But at the end of the day, I think they are the better football team. I think they figure out how to get it done on the road in a true Big Ten, cold weather, nasty, ugly football team, a football game. No chance. This game's not going under. Be stunned if it doesn't go under, but give me whiskey.
This game's going to be so gross, and I'm going to be on it and have to watch every second. Me too.
I'm going to bet the under, too. Just because of damn how cold it's going to be and everything. I mean, shitty offense, and they'll score 70. That's what you know.
Oh, man. Scotty, last game we got on the board this week. Georgia will be traveling to Stark Vegas to play Saturday night in front of the Cowbells. This is game 213 and 214. Over under here is 53.5. Mississippi State's getting 16.5. Georgia's scoring 40 points a game, giving up 10. They're 9-0 straight up, 5-4 against the number, and they're 2-7 to the under. Mississippi State's scoring 33 points a game, giving up 24. They're 6-3 straight up. They're 4-4 against the number, and they're 5-4 shaded to the over. Scotty, this is your alma mater. What are we going to get from Mike Leach and the boys? After last week, when he got so pissed off in the second half, he started folding up the chairs on the sideline because he didn't want the team to sit down anymore because they hadn't earned it, and he didn't know what was going on over there. But
that was the wide receivers. He was so frustrated, he went and folded their chairs up. Mike Leach's like, kid, but that's a whole nother story. I know why he can't recruit, but, you know, watching the guy. But here's the thing. Those kids don't like not playing for him.
They love it.
That's exactly right. And it's why so many guys don't leave. Like, the guys that leave, honestly, State doesn't care if they leave. Like Malik Heath. And Malik Heath went to Ole Miss and was in a better situation. Like, he was having a really good year until he got hurt. And so it was better for him, better for State. You know, it kind of is what it is. That's Leach. He doesn't care. He's just... You know, just kind of does what he does. I've said this for 2 weeks. They just got finished playing Florida. Big game. Rivalry. Tennessee, 1-2. Gigantic football game. They got Kentucky next week on the road. Here comes at Starkville, who just looked like donkey balls against Auburn, who Georgia murdered. 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, not very long. There's no way those kids are fired up to play. Zero chance. Zero chance. They're going to roll in. They're going to get State's 100% best effort. It's a night game. Good crowd. Loud. Sets up poorly. This is too many points. It will not surprise me if this is fourth quarter, last team with the ball to win the game. I don't think State's good enough to win the game. I really don't.
Mississippi State plus 16.5. Would you buy this one up to 17? Are you comfortable with the 16.5?
Oh, hell, I don't think 16.5 is a problem at all. I think this is a touchdown game. I think Georgia gets all they want Saturday night. They may win by 10. They may win by 14. They are gonna roll into the fourth quarter with an opportunity to lose. And if they aren't playing well, or State gets a break or two, they could win this football game. I'm not remotely telling anybody to bet, because I don't think State is good enough to close the deal against a team like Georgia. I'm just telling you, this is a flat spot. They're going to get the other team's best spot. Give me 16.5. Felt like this as soon as I saw the schedule. Remember, there's two other times, and I bought into the hype wagon at Kentucky. I screwed every listener on this podcast. But because preseason, I thought, I played great against A&M, they're going to win. Played great against Arkansas, they're going to win because of what happened on the schedule. Oh, it's terrible. They're going to go to Kentucky and play terrible. And I bought into the hype wagon against my own preseason judgments. I ain't doing it this time. State's going to play well Saturday. Knew Auburn was going to go exactly like it did. Why we didn't talk about it last week, Bulldogs are going to play well. If they win this football game, it wouldn't surprise me.
A lot of people I've heard talk about this is going to be the game that Georgia could slip up. So it's going to be interesting. I've heard many folks that I respect in the industry talk about it's that.
It's a bad spot on Georgia's schedule.
Nine games, Scott. That's what we got on the board. Got a couple other I want to point out. First one I like, Iowa State, -1.5 on the road, Oklahoma State. So Iowa State defense is good. They're only getting up 16 points a game. You can kind of threw them out for dead. They're only 4-5 straight up. Oklahoma State, to me, looks like they are circling the drain. I don't have a status on Spencer Sanders. Gundy does not give injury information out. I'm going to assume he's probably not going to play, and if he is going to play, there's no way he's healthy. There, I mean, it's questionable if he's going to dress in this one. Their offense without him does not look good. In your words, it's pedestrian. I like Iowa State here to go on the road and cover, and obviously Vegas does too because they're favored on the road in Stillwater at 2:30 on Saturday. I'll take the Cyclones and a little bit of a play there.
All right, I'm gonna give you one that most people are gonna be like, really? Are you serious? Give me Syracuse +6.5 money line play at versus FSU. FSU just gas canned Miami. That's the biggest shit kicking in that rivalry that I remember FSU giving in my lifetime. And then they go on the road. And the last time we saw Garrett Schrader, he was awful and got benched. I think they answer the bell and they are a live dog +6.5. Take 6.5 if you're safe. You want to gamble, double your money. Take them for the win. I think they are a live dog.
I got another one in the SEC. LSU's traveling to Fayetteville. KJ Jefferson is not healthy. It's obvious if you watched it. And then Arkansas's got players getting arrested. It's kind of getting wonky, it seems like, in that program. LSU, I think, taking that win the way that they did, I'm not buying in the hype. They're only laying 3 on the road at Arkansas. I think they go in there and take care of business and wipe Arkansas out. I don't think Arkansas's head's right. For some reason, there's something going on in that program. I can't find a ton of information about it, but I just don't get a feeling something's going on there. And I think LSU, after getting that win and then looking at the season saying, okay, look, we're in a good spot here. We got to win out. It's all we got to do is win out. I like LSU covering. All you got to cover is a field goal. Give me the Tigers -3 on the road.
I'm going to say something. The other game, there's one other dog that I like. And Illinois looked so bad last week against hard to believe. Do you realize that was a +400 money line win?
Yeah, it's huge.
You know what? I'll tell you what. We're going to watch it again because Illinois may have run out of rope. Purdue +6.5 at Illinois. Another money line play. Don't take it unless you're going to take the money line. That's the deal. Those are the games. My favorite money line play, though, is seriously, I think Syracuse can sneak up on FSU.
I think we're going to go with the money line parlay of Cuse +6.5, Purdue +6.5 will be our money line parlay. You're going to put that down. You're going to bet 100. You're going to probably win about 750 to 800. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. But that's our money line parlay right there, brother. Because I agree with you. I think Purdue's got a shot. I think they're a live dog in this one. They've been a surprise team all season long. I like where you're going with this one. And, again, nobody thought Illinois was going to be this good. And last week they played a Michigan State team that just looks like they're a mess. I mean, I went on a rant about that team before this game. I think they got a chance, but that's my money line parlay. But I got one more play I want to put in. Tennessee -20.5. I think Tennessee comes out of that game last week, and I look at some of the tweets that Hendon Hooker put out, and I like this game. And since Mizzou's defense is pretty good, offensively they're really challenged. And Tennessee, I think, comes back.
They're defense St. George's.
No. And Tennessee comes back home this week, and they look at me like, look, guys, we're 8-1. The hardest part of our schedule is behind us. We've got Missouri, South Carolina, and Vandy left. And so, I forget, there's somebody else in there, whoever. So they, no, those are the three teams they got left. And I, they got those, like, look, we need to go out. We need to pound these teams. We need to stay in that conversation in the top six, top eight, because somebody in front of us is going to lose, and we got a chance to get in there. But we got to have some style points. And I think Heupel knows that. I think this Tennessee football team knows that. I think after losing last week the way they did, I don't think they come out tight. I think they come out loose. I actually think they're going to be getting better as the season goes on. With Tillman being back in the roster more and more, he's only played two games for them all season long. And so I look for this team to be more explosive this week against Mizzou. I think they smoke these guys. I'm going to take Tennessee in the first half. I'm going to take Tennessee in the game, 21. I'd get it at 20 and a half. You can get it. It's out there right now. If you look around, I'd take Tennessee minus 20 and a half in this spot.
I like that. I like that line. I want to say two things about the game last week. Brew McCoy was not the number one wide receiver recruit in the country with the balls he dropped last week.
No, God.
I mean, oh my gosh, he dropped some gigantic balls. But it's more important. I don't mean fly routes and the DB's hanging on you and you're diving for it. He ran two slant routes that honestly, if he didn't put his hands up and they bounced off his hands, might have hit him in the face mask. Like, might have stuck in his face mask. I mean, it was two great throws in two incredibly important positions. And I was, Scott, it's wet. It's great. There, you think you ain't going to play in the NFL? It's wet. I mean, that dude harmed himself last week. Go get in front of a jug gun, bro. And I mean that because you cost yourself a lot. There ain't an NFL scout that thinks, yeah, we need, you know what? I'm going to lay my career on that dude. First round.
Oh, Scotty, that's
and I mean that.
Oh, that's the board. We got a big one. Nine games, moneyline parlay, Syracuse plus 6.5, Purdue six plus 6.5. You know, we've had some square boards over time where we've eaten a lot of chalk, and I'm not scared of that in college. NFL's a little bit different. We got a lot of dogs this week. We got a gross under in Northwestern and many at 41. So, man, I think this is a good board to get right. I'll tell you what, next week, I don't know if you've looked at the schedule yet, but next week in the Pac-12, it is going to be fantastic. There are some great games out west next weekend.
As the SEC normally is that week before, got some good games. Tennessee, South Carolina. We got some sneakers in there. We got Arkansas, Ole Miss. I mean, there's some good games in there too. I'm kind of excited about next week. And that week usually sucks ass.
Yeah. So there's still a lot of great games to be played on the schedule. I mean, next week you got USC, UCLA is going to play. Texas goes up to Lawrence where they're trying to get revenge in that spot. TCU and Baylor will match up. That doesn't mean much to y'all. TCU hates Baylor. It's going to be interesting to see what you've got from there.
Are you going?
I'm 50-50 on if I'm going to go up for that one. It's either that one or the Texas game, but, yeah, I'm probably going to go. But you got Utah, Oregon.
I'm home solo that weekend if you want to come stay at the house. Have some cocktails. I mean, come on. I mean, Beth's going to Mississippi. I mean, Chase and I've got to stay home to keep the dogs, so we can't go. We were going hunting. She had to go to Mississippi for something.
But, yeah, there's some great games next weekend, so it should be a lot of fun. Folks, with that being said, you can hit him up at ScottDenson1. I'm at @NetMark on Twitter. We always love the feedback. Scroll down, give us some feedback, give us some reviews. We enjoy all of them. With that being said, we hope we go out and make a few bucks for the weekend and get ready for next week. Talk to you then.